Welcome to the More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics. Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a moderate Republican from Virginia.
Hi, I'm Jonah. I am an independent from Maryland.
Hi there, I'm DJ from Virginia, and I'm a Republican for now.
I'm Kevin. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm a moderate Democrat.
And I'm Greg. I'll be your liberal Democrat from Cincinnati.
And find us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com, plus blogs and commentary. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast. And please, please, please rate us and review us on iTunes.
Nicely done. Nicely done. So what are we talking about? Did anything go on this week of any interest? There might have been something interesting. Somebody?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm salivating
ladies and gentlemen, I can finally use this line that I first read about in a political history of the 1960s. Nixon used it once. I feel like a mosquito at a nudist camp. I don't know where to begin.
I'll use this line that I saw in a movie. Are we not entertained?
We are something. We are somewhere.
We are something.
There's something to be said that I feel like that our GOP debate looked more like an SNL skit.
Oh, without a doubt. There were so many lines and so many things that, I couldn't keep Twitter going fast enough between everything. I was like, I gotta make a comment about this. It was just amazing. And then at one point I was like, one of these people could be a president. No, this is a joke, right? Not one of them seemed presidential in any way between the fighting and the bickering and the... It was terrible.
I hold to the statement that I gave probably last week and the week before and everything. Despite everyone's best efforts, someone has to be president of the United States on the 20th of January. And the folks on that stage did, to some extent, it appeared they did their best to make sure it wasn't any of them. However, some things, you know, and something like that is not necessarily a matter of winning, is a matter of losing the least. And, you know, I'll be honest. What the thing that I took away from the debate didn't strike me as an analyst or a pundit or somebody who sounds off or anything. It struck me as a voter and as an American. It was Donald Trump saying he's not afraid of trade wars. I have always made jokes. You know, I've always said that. You know, I've never seen a politician smart enough for me to be afraid of them. I know that Donald Trump's shtick. I grew up with it in New Jersey. I am now afraid of that man in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue because of that statement. He doesn't know what trade wars are. To be fair, nobody else on this stage did either. We've become numbed to the notion of what a trade war actually is. A trade war is an actual war over resources that you would normally trade. It's not tit for tat tariff. It's not tit for tat trade regulation. Those are damaging enough as it is. I mean, let's not forget it was Smoot-Hawley that exported the Great Depression to the rest of the world. But the notion that someone selling a better product or a more valued product, a better product for the value, because it may be that it's not really better quality, but it is cheap enough that overcomes it, that someone doing that outside this country is important enough to throw the entire hostility of the federal government at them, is frankly a very, very frightening thing for me. And I say this as somebody who probably is more aggressive in my willingness to have America's interests defended abroad than most people in the country. I'm one of the last six people on earth who thinks the liberation of Iraq was a good idea, and I still think it. But I am not going to sit here and say that, yes, the entire power of the federal government should be aimed at the little toys that are put in Happy Meals, or the various appliances that are in Walmart, or anything like that. Okay? If you have a problem with communist China exporting so much stuff to this country, and yeah, I think you should, you don't end up whacking the taxpayer in the bargain. You end up reducing tariffs from everybody around them. And Donald Trump has refused to do that because he won't support the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Donald Trump's policy is very clear. His basic policy is scare and threaten everybody with tariffs to get them to do what I want. Well, the world doesn't work that way. And either he is going to learn in a manner that damages the rest of us, or he is going to lose between now and November. I don't know which one it's going to be, but those are the two options. There is no third option.
So do you see this as one of the big issues with having an outsider, like that inexperience with how the world and economics and government actually works?
I don't think that because Hillary Clinton is now just as stupid on global trade as Donald Trump is, and she has been an insider for 20 years. That didn't stop her from going stupid.
Let's clear that up. Hillary Clinton's been an insider longer than 20 years.
And also, you know, the insider versus outsider thing. I mean, this was a lot of what Pat Buchanan talked about, and he was an insider. I don't know that this particular avenue of crazy is exclusive to outsiders.
No, I would agree with Joan on that. This is not an insider outsider thing. There are plenty of people who, in my opinion, are this stupid who are insider. And frankly, Ted Cruz got hit with a stupid last year. And I'm one of the 12 people left on the planet who actually like him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but Ted Cruz considers himself an outsider. I mean, he's a first year senator.
I know Ted Cruz considers himself an outsider, but Ted Cruz is also on the Republican side, he is also the only candidate left. And as soon as Bobby Jindal left, he was the only candidate remaining who actually had experience working in the federal executive branch in Washington, D.C. He worked in the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission, okay? Mm-hmm. So one could argue, and he also, I believe he clerked for Justice Scalia, if memory serves. So he's about the only one with actual insider experience. So he can call himself whatever the heck he likes. They can all call themselves whatever the hell they like, okay?
Right. They could call themselves residents of Sesame Street. Doesn't matter.
The inside-outside stuff is never something that appealed to me as an argument for a whole host of reasons I won't get into now. But Donald Trump is actually proving it. He is casting himself with this outside milieu, this outside attitude, and yet the positions he has taken, the actual positions when you actually get him to talk about them, when he actually decides what it is, are some of the most inside Rockefeller Republican positions that the party has seen in 50 years. Barry Goldwater would be spinning so fast in his grave right now, he could probably power the entire Southwest by himself.
You know what, though, I've got to say is that we've got to look at this as there's a difference between anti-establishment and outsider. I think that there are candidates that Cruz is probably an anti-establishment candidate, but Donald Trump is a true outsider, and that's totally evidenced by the low turnout, I think, in the South Carolina Democratic primary and the high turnout on the Republican side. So there is a huge difference between the difference of anti-establishment and outsider.
Yeah, sure. I think that's true.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Sure.
I'll be honest, I don't...
It's important that we get our terms correct.
Yes, but I'll be honest, I don't care.
So as far as the debate goes, like, what has been so enjoyable for me with all of these things is just the performance aspect and the stagecraft. And with this last debate, as far as the three frontrunners go, it really felt to me like they each had the debate that they thought they wanted to have. I think that Trump got to do his, I'm strong, I'm tough, I'm the winner. Rubio, I think it really felt like his priority was to show that he was not low energy Jeb Bush, that he got up there and interrupted a huge amount, like so much so that I think it backfired. And then Cruz was just like trying to do there's this thing that's been going on this whole Republican primary where somebody on the stage is going to be the guy who says, why is everybody arguing? Can't we all just stop arguing? And it sort of has changed because Christie was doing it for a while. And
used to be Christie and Kasich does it.
And then
yeah.
Carson, it's everybody sort of does it. And I think Ted Cruz like halfway pretended he was going to do it by smiling and like then trying to, you know, stick Trump with a stick while he wasn't looking. You know, there was a lot of it was weird, but it felt to me like those three got what they wanted to get across, but for Rubio and Cruz, it didn't work. Like, they had great strategy, and I felt like they must have had great training sessions, but I don't think what they wanted to do conveyed their desires.
Okay. So you guys feel that Trump won?
I think that Rubio and Cruz did not break through. Like, they both went after Trump more than anybody has so far. And they tried all new angles and all new arguments. And Trump just kind of shrugged it off and was like, yeah, well, I'll give your mother a job.
That's a great line.
Why don't you give my mother a job? Oh, I'll give your mother a job. You know, like, nothing sticks to this guy. Like, especially those two now pretending that they're going to fight him just doesn't work, I don't think.
Did you bother Googling Polish, Trump Polish workers?
I'll tell you what, I do that every night for updates. But no, actually I did not.
I did. I mean, it worked. And you know what? It just wasn't that interesting. 40-year or 30-year. Oh, something happened 30 years ago. I guess there is a statute of limitations.
The
statute of limitations on it. You know, it's just not that interesting.
And,
you know, there were a lot of things like that that, oh, it's just not that interesting.
Here's the thing.
Moving on.
Here's the thing. The last Civil War battle that was fought was somewhere in the ranches of East Texas in May of 1865, and it was a smashing Confederate victory. And nobody cared because it was what was happening in the rest of the country, and the victors actually surrendered to the vanquished within about 2 or 3 days. Donald Trump, I think, based on what I saw and read, had a bad debate night, and he wiped it all out with a dry eraser the moment he got Chris Christie to stand up and say, I will do everything I can to help my friend Donald Trump get elected president of the United States.
Oh, that was so weird.
Nobody cared about the debate after that. It was done. It was over.
Yeah.
Finito. Right. It was like, you know, did we all just sleep Wednesday night? As a matter of fact, I did, and I recommend it for these things, and that's why. Because by Friday afternoon, nobody cared what happened Thursday night. They only cared about Chris Christie.
Well, there have been a lot of debates. You're right. And at this point, like, they're not getting the same viewers. We've seen this all before. We know what to expect. There will be the same talking over. I mean, it gets old hat. So you're right.
Even the fact that this debate, which was really new, it had some new stuff. It had some, you know, people play different dynamics, as you have all mentioned. None of it mattered the minute Christie said, I endorse Donald Trump. It all became irrelevant. It just did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it is interesting, but it was something, you know.
So I have a question for you guys. You know, Trump obviously has the inside track to become the Republican nominee. Personally, I don't see how any of them are going to stop him. What is going to take, and I don't want you to answer this like analysts. I want you to answer this like voters. What will it take to stop Donald Trump from becoming president of the United States? What will take him down?
I would say the right people running in district conventions to go to Cleveland to hopefully have a broker convention and choose differently on the second ballot. What do you think?
You think it'll be a brokered convention?
I feel like it's heading in that direction.
I think at this point there are only two alternatives. I think. I could be wrong. Alternative one is a brokered convention, but I think it is the less likely alternative. The more likely alternative right now is that Donald Trump gets himself to 1,237 delegates. The first test will be Tuesday, and we'll talk about Tuesday a little later. The next test will be March 15. If Donald Trump passes all three tests, then either the entire party rests on Ben Carson stopping Donald Trump,
or the
party leadership will do what I think we all think it will do, which is fall in line and pretend that everything is okay and that Donald Trump can actually win. Donald Trump actually cannot win, and I can tell you why he cannot win, because he will not get my vote. I have only voted.
Yeah,
he won't be getting mine either.
Yeah.
So, but you guys would be sitting it out. I assume you're not going to vote for
Sanders. That's my third scenario for you, DJ. The third scenario is that Republicans like you and Emily vote for Hillary Clinton. And that might be an even further stretch for a lot of moderate Republicans. That's the scenario that I see.
I can't speak for Emily on this one. I can only speak for myself.
I'm agreeing with DJ.
I haven't said anything yet, but thank you.
whatever he says, I'm agreeing.
This is how he gets you to send him brownies and stuff. So be careful. Nothing.
This for me, the Trump nomination, if it happens, and it still may not happen, but if it does, it would tell me that essentially that the Republican Party has left me, and that two, what we now have facing us is a European political system with a big government right and a big government left. And the question is going to be, will we be a Northern European system with a relatively small government center? And I've never been in the center before, so I have no idea what that feels like. Or will we be a Mediterranean European party with just a big government right and a big government left, with Donald Trump as the American Silvio Berlusconi? And it kills me to say that because I actually like Silvio. And
I'm going to jump in for a second, DJ, because I can't speak for the others, but honestly, you're over my head, and sometimes I think when we get into these things comparing us to, you know, Nova Scotia or, you know, the British Parliament, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not that informed. I'm not that bright. So I want to bring the conversation back a little bit to just how we are as people.
And I get that, Kevin. And one of the things I am as a person is I like to be self-deprecating and self-parodying. I am stunned that I can actually mention Nova Scotia and not all of you laughed in my face. Only one of you did. But to make a very long story short, if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, I am looking, and I can't speak firmly here, although she says I can, I am looking at finding an alternative right of center force, and if I have to build it up from the ground by myself, then I do. But it will be a matter of, look, folks, this is bigger than this election. This is bigger than, you know, whether or not, this is bigger than stopping Hillary Clinton, because I want to stop Hillary Clinton and stop Donald Trump. The first thing I can do is, one, not vote for either of them, and two, minimize the damage that either of them would do by building a third force, however small and large that I and others like us can make it. Well, it's going to stop one of them because both of them can't win, and then we can act as an effective opposition to them, to the one who does win, because neither will act as an effective opposition to the other party.
All right, okay. Similar theme though. But if Trump gets it, how will this affect the down party tickets for the Republican Party? I didn't say you were going to stay home because you'll probably go vote. But will you still vote down-ticket senators and congresspeople? I mean, you're well-informed voters, of course. But what about the average Republican voter?
No, when people stay home, they're going to stay home. That's a great question, Greg. It's a really great question.
So, right,
people who stay home will stay home.
Right.
So
they will not go out to vote.
But, you know, I'm sure we've all been reading a lot of the same articles. DJ reads, I think, a few more obscure ones than I do. But we've all been reading the Times, the New York Times. We've all been reading Politico. We all know what's going on in the Republican Party. There are two different theories of this election. One is people are turned off by Donald Trump, and they either don't show up to vote for him, or people who would normally vote Republican end up holding their nose and voting for a Hillary Clinton. The other one is that he drives white turnout higher than it's ever been before, and he becomes elected president. So with that in mind, I ask again, because he's going to be the nominee, and Hillary or Bernie are going to be the nominees. A third-party candidate is not going to win this election.
I didn't say they would win.
So the question is, I know you didn't. So, I mean, I'm going to answer my own question, and then if anybody else wants to jump in. I think that while he took a damn good shot at it, Marco Rubio trying to be Donald Trump is not going to do it. Engaging him in rank out sessions is not the answer. And again, I understand why Rubio did it, and frankly, he got in some really good shots, but it's not Marco Rubio. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is totally unprepared for that. So I think the only thing that's going to stop Donald Trump from becoming president is, I call it a face of the crowd theory. It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to have to do something that ultimately disqualifies him, even in the eyes of many of the people who now support him. And I suspect, and if I was a Democratic strategist, and I actually wrote this in an article this week, maybe a couple of you saw it, I would find people like James Carville, people like Alan Grayson, you know, the real bulldogs of the Democratic Party, and they should actively engage him in the media every day. They should be his sparring partners, not Hillary Clinton, and they should force him into a slew of unforced errors, one of which will be damning enough to stop him from being elected. Any thoughts?
He said it so many times. He could shoot a person.
No. He's going to do something. There is a line.
I think he's already done it. I think that for anyone who is really kind of a in the middle or an independent, if they've been paying attention at all, he's already done it. And, you know, it's sort of next on the list here. But the fact that he's not saying, you know, he's not willing to condemn the KKK, right? So the fact that he's not willing to do stuff like that, the fact that he's been without saying racist, the way that he's been able to talk about things that have been seen as crazy racist.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that, like, everyone who's sort of not really paying attention or considers themselves, like, not really actively involved, they've seen this, and maybe they're not registered right now, or maybe they're independent, or maybe they just don't really vote in primaries, but those people have noticed. And so it sort of comes back to this thing that I've said, you know, weeks ago, that unless Hillary Clinton, because she is going to be the nominee, unless there's some kind of crazy thing where she shoots herself in the foot, then all those middle people, they're going to vote against him. I think he's already done it. I just think we haven't seen it with the Republican primary voters.
That may be true, because, again, we have to remind ourselves that as enthusiastic and in some cases rabid as his supporters are, they are maybe 35% to 40% of the registered Republican voters in the country. So we're talking about somewhere around 8% to 15% of the country. And I'm hoping that you're right, Jonah, that aside from Democrats, who, of course, will support, for the most part, the nominee, which is going to be Hillary Clinton, that those people that, you know, don't vote in primaries but come out for elections are saner.
But Kevin, you're also going to have those of us who have voted or who are voting in primaries who will make it very clear that we will not, and I've made it very clear that I will not support Trump in a general election. And yes, I'm not expecting that the candidate, if my options are Trump, Clinton, and Gary Johnson, I'm not expecting Gary Johnson to win. No.
Gary Johnson is going to get a lot of votes that
would normally go to Donald Trump, assuming Johnson gets the nomination. He will get a lot of votes that would normally go to a Republican nominee and defeat Hillary Clinton, but they won't go to Donald Trump. They'll go to Gary Johnson or Michael Bloomberg instead.
Let's talk about Gary Johnson for a second. So this could be, you know, his big moment this year, because if you look at it this way, he's running again. In most states, if the Libertarian candidate cracks 5%, that opens up ballot access in many, many states. Not all 50. Everyone has a different state board of election rules.
Ours is 10.
Is right. But other states,
10?
Other states are closer to 5, the majority.
I agree.
So Virginia is very difficult. But that 5% is a big deal for the Libertarian group. And this is the perfect year for them to cultivate that.
I agree.
We're going to see the same thing with the Green Party as soon as, and I'm just going to say this, as soon as Bernie Sanders doesn't get it, you know, everyone's going to jump to the Green Party candidate.
So is this going to be the year where we're like the California ballot of like 2004 or whatever it was, where they had 147 people on the ballot and Gary Coleman actually got votes? Is it going to be that kind of year?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, considering that I believe Gary Coleman has now shed his mortal coil, I'm pretty sure it won't be like 2004 California. However, I do think that either Johnson or Bloomberg could have, again, they could have a dramatic pull on voters who would normally go to the Republican nominee. I find it hard to believe that after 2000 that the Green Party could actually get voters from folks. But I don't know the left side of the spectrum as well as Kevin and Greg do, so I'll defer to them on that one. But it's going to be very interesting to see whether, and I actually initially when I went through this before and we've talked about this before, I was very high on a Bloomberg candidacy. I'm not so sure anymore, because I think Bloomberg was an excellent mayor. It would be a very personal campaign, and it wouldn't necessarily be something that could move beyond it to a genuine political movement. Gary Johnson, this is the chance for the Libertarian Party to be something akin to the liberals in Germany, the liberals in the Netherlands. Sorry, I know I'm bringing Europe up again. But my point is, they can be more than just an afterthought. They can be a party that routinely gets 7, 8, 9, 10% of the vote, maybe wins a couple of legislative districts or two, and suddenly becomes the third party instead of one of the third parties, and gets the chance to really build themselves into, and it may take a generation or two, but you know, at this point, for me, if Donald Trump really gets nominated by the Republican Party, I gotta tell you, it's not my Republican Party anymore. I am done, and I'm looking not just beyond it. I'm frankly looking to replace it as with a new party on the center right.
So would you say then that? I guess my question before you said that was, do you think that a President Trump or a President Clinton would be better for the Republican Party? But I guess your perspective is that there is no better for the Republican Party other than a new party.
Well, it's not a question of what is better. For me, it's a question of what is best for the cause, to use that term, because I think I'm another one, for the cause of limited government and lower taxes and more efficient spending. Those are the things that matter to me. Those are the things that led me to the Republican Party. And if the Republican Party is going to abandon them, I need to find another vehicle. So for me, it's will Trump or Clinton be beneficial for those issues? I don't think either of them will. And I'm not sure which one would be worse to them.
Okay, but let's just think this out. Let's say Hillary Clinton, you know, beats Donald Trump in the fall election. So you have 4 more years of divided government. It will probably not be unlike the second Obama administration, or the second Obama term, excuse me. And then, you know, you're running against a party that's been in power for 12 years. You put up a better candidate. You've got a great shot of winning in 2020. I think that's the best thing for the GOP. Just, you know, throw the fight. Let him lose. Don't support him. Do everything that you can to trip him up, and let him just, you know, throw one more and have 4 more years of frustration.
Right.
That, to
with
me,
that
to me is the
best
outcome.
The only problem with that is Supreme Court.
Well, that is a big problem.
Well,
you're right. That's a big problem.
Donald Trump sort of fixed that problem for me when he said that he wanted to open up the libel law so he can sue people.
Yeah.
If he is, the moment he said that, I'm looking back and like, okay, because now you have Donald Trump, the man who wants to sue people who writes things he doesn't like, and Hillary Clinton, who was the person on whom Citizens United wanted to put out a documentary that was declared illegal because it was too close to a primary. So I've got two people now who ascribe things to Hillary Clinton that she hasn't said. My point is, from my perspective, I would just rather the Scalia seat be vacant for 5 years if it's between these two. I don't want anybody filling it. Nobody's going to be better or worse.
Man, in 4 more years, we're going to have 3 or 4 empty seats. There's going to be such a skeleton crew on the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, the GOP, they want to scale back government. This is the way to do it.
Yeah, in the judiciary.
Fewer Supreme Court justices, yeah.
I'm not sure that's the most effective way to do things. But seriously, and I know I keep going on with this, but here's the thing. A Donald Trump-led Republican Party is not going to want the things that the Republican Party has wanted in the past. And it will be a very different opposition to Hillary Clinton than the opposition that President Obama had. Yes, there'll be some personal stuff. Yes, there'll be some frustrations and all the things you normally get with a government and an opposition. But Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are going to agree on a lot of things where I don't agree with either of them. And Donald Trump, even if he loses, Donald Trump is still going to be there bloviating. He'll be treated as effectively as the guy who, as the previous. You know, Barry Goldwater had an influence on the Republican Party for decades after he lost, huge landslide.
He's not going to be Barry Goldwater. He's not even going to be Mitt Romney. I know what you're saying, that the person that loses is the de facto leader of the party for another 3 to 4 years. But in this case, I don't think that would be true.
No. Once Trump loses, we're not going to see him he's going to go back to The Apprentice. I mean, he's done with politics. He's going to go back to running his business and make ties in China and whatnot. I mean, he's done here.
The interesting thing is, before he does all this stuff, he has to actually win states on Super Tuesday, which most people think he will. I'm going to skip over the South Carolina Democratic primary because, frankly, I don't think it's news. I knew Hillary was going to kick Bernie's ass. Hillary kicked Bernie's ass. Hillary will continue to kick Bernie's ass. Thank you. We're done with the Democratic Party.
No, it's news, but that's okay. We'll come back.
Yeah,
to it.
We will come back to it, actually. But in terms of what will happen on Tuesday, I think the state to watch, obviously, the first state to watch is Texas.
Texas is the state to watch.
If Donald Trump beats Ted Cruz, then Ted Cruz is done. That's it. It's over. He's out by Friday. I'm not even sure Ted Cruz can make it past the end of the week if he wins Texas, if Trump keeps it to within 3 or 4 points. I think Cruz needs to win by more than 5 points. It needs to be a substantial victory.
Is Texas a winner-take-all?
No, none of them are winner-take-all unless somebody gets to 50% of the vote, which I wasn't which probably will happen for Trump in Alabama because Jeff Sessions just endorsed him. It won't happen for anybody in Texas. Nobody in Texas is getting 50%. Question, and this is, you know, as a Rubio guy, it pains me to say it, but it has to be said, is can Marco Rubio win anywhere?
Do you think he can win Florida? Do you think he can? I mean, it's not Super Tuesday.
I'm focused
on March 1st here. I think he does need to win somewhere on March 1st in order to be able to win on March 15th in Florida. I think if he gets swept, then he obviously has a problem. If he wins,
So where could he win on March 1st?
I read somewhere that he is ahead in Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
He is
the
either
caucus.
He is either close or he's not so close in Virginia, depending upon which poll you read. There are a lot of states that haven't had polling in about 2 or 3 months, and he tends to get the late. He has generally gotten the late breakers his way. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll win in any places, but it does mean that he has the potential to win somewhere, and I think he does need to win somewhere, or I don't see him winning on his home state on March 15th, and then I honestly think he is done. And then at that point, it's basically if Trump sweeps on Super Tuesday, which I think is possible, then essentially it becomes Emily's candidate or bust.
I was just going to say, Emily, there's one word that has only been named once so far this show.
I won't say it. I don't want to upset Greg.
You might as well.
I think that this is where we're at on Super Tuesday. So, you know, I hate to say it, but the K word, Kasich, he said the expectation is that he thinks that Trump will take the majority, if not all, of the Super Tuesday states, period. Done. Let's write it off. Let's move on. Let's deal with it. March 8th, we've got Michigan, which I think he will fare very, very well there.
You're talking about Kasich,
Kasich. But March 15th is going to be the big, big test for both Rubio and Kasich. And, I agree with DJ, is if Texas, huge state, 155 delegates, I mean, ton of delegates up for grabs. If Ted Cruz can't win Texas, then he's sunk, even if he doesn't come close.
Yeah, but do you see Kasich winning, even coming close in anything, though, to making it to March 15th?
I think he'll probably... You know, he didn't put his resources, from what I'm understanding, in a lot of the Super Tuesday states. But Michigan, he's expected to come in second, and he's expecting to win Ohio. And
no, he's behind in Ohio.
He's behind. He's either behind or he's on the wrong side of the margin of error in Ohio now. But if Ted Cruz if Ted Cruz is knocked out of the box, and if Rubio looks like he's going to lose in Florida, then you could see some consolidation. The question really is at this point, and this is for Republicans of all stripes, my answer to this question is yes, but the answer to others might not be, is Donald Trump nomination such a problem that you can accept a guy who has been scolding at us for 7 months? In my opinion, hey, Donald Trump has to be stopped. I don't care if Johnny, no, you're really not nasty Grandma Kasich, even if you act that way. If he's the alternative, then he's the alternative. Fine. I remember him as House Budget Chairman. He was good. He's done some things as governor I like, some things as governor I don't like. But he's superior to Donald Trump. If he's the last guy standing, then he's the last guy standing. But what scares me is a lot of Republicans don't think that way, and they'd rather take the flyer with Trump than go with Kasich. They'd rather take the flyer with Trump than go with Rubio. And a lot of the establishment people would rather take the flyer with Trump than go with Cruz. That's really the big problem, is that Trump is everybody's second choice except for me.
Right. I wouldn't vote for Trump. I've got to say, is that if he's in the general, I cannot absolve my conscience and vote for him. I can't do that. So I'm in a place where, and I'm shocked, you know, DJ, I know you could stomach Trump, Cruz.
No, I can't stomach him.
No, Cruz.
I can stomach Cruz, yes. I
don't even
like
know
him.
If I'm there ice. Yet. I don't even think I'm
hold
there.
Hold on. Let me ask Kevin a question. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, sir?
Could you stomach Sanders if he wins the nomination?
Yes. Here's the thing.
I would root for
Bernie Sanders against any of the Republicans, going back to, my favorite, Lindsey Graham.
I would vote for Lindsey Graham over Sanders in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Bernie Sanders, there's a lot of things about him that I questioned. I don't think that he could accomplish 80% or 90% of the things that he's been promising.
It's a little low, but okay.
I don't hold him in low regard, but I do not hold him in the high regard that his supporters hold him in. I would be, at this point, if you put that button in front of me, they used to do those Twilight Zones with the box and the button, and they said,
push that button, and one person will die
someplace, but you get $1 million,
Oh, I love that one, yeah.
If I could push a button, and I knew that Bernie Sanders would be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, I would push that button today only because it's not 100% sure that Hillary Clinton will win, and I don't want to take that chance.
What parallel universe have you been living on since Saturday evening?
I'm talking about that she would win the general. What I'm saying is I don't want to take the risk of a Democrat losing the general. So I would rather, take Bernie Sanders. But my thing about Bernie Sanders is, with all of the liabilities that Hillary Clinton brings into a general election, I think Bernie Sanders is infinitely more beatable. I've been saying this since June. Nothing that I've seen has changed my opinion. When I saw Donald Trump do the communist rant, it only confirmed my views that they will turn Bernie Sanders into a quivering old man. And I'm sorry for Sanders fans out there if I'm offending you. I'm not saying that that's what he is. I'm saying he is not equipped to go up against a Donald Trump or, frankly, against a Marco Rubio. I do think he would have a chance against Ted Cruz, because I think Ted Cruz is the Barry Goldwater of this group. But there you have it.
Oh, I think Ted, as much as I have utter disdain for Ted Cruz, and I loathe him. I think Ted Cruz would destroy him in any sort of actual debate. Ted Cruz is very intelligent and sharp.
Great debater.
What's the other word? Mean. Yeah. He's mean.
Great debater, you know.
Is anyone he's like a shark. I mean, he's cold-blooded.
He's also,
and he smells blood.
He's also
from, miles.
He's also the Zodiac killer. So you don't want to know the Zodiac
killer. Ted Cruz is what would have happened if Lee Atwater had decided to run for office. That's basically who Ted Cruz is.
Okay.
You guys laugh, but every time I see Ted Cruz, I see Jimmy Baker walking out on stage. I see a...
Jimmy Baker?
Oh, yeah. Cheap televangelist all day. That's what I see when I see Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that much. Oh, my mind's eye goes to Swagger, not Baker, so I'll never get that right. Sure. But I think we all agree that yes, Sanders would be more vulnerable in the general election. But, and now shifting to the Democrats, after Saturday night, there is no way in hell that Bernie Sanders is actually going to get to the general election.
No, he's not. It's over.
No, it's over. Dumb.
And what I'm finding fascinating, you know, I follow this on a two-prong parallel universe thing. One is the actual politics, which is what we're discussing now. But I'm also really fascinated by the sociological and psychological elements of this campaign, because it has revealed so much to us as a society and how people work individually. And, you know, as you guys know, I spend a lot of time on Facebook. I have my own political group. I'm in a lot of other political groups. And what I see is the cognitive dissonance of the Bernie Sanders supporters realizing that they've been duped and that it's not going to happen, and their heads are imploding. And the way it's playing out on social media.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. These people are in rampant denial. They're going through, they're at about the second or third stage of grief. And
which is, I think, anger.
Yeah,
it's like that robot on Lost in Space freaking out.
Yeah, is that the second or the third stage?
Anger is two.
So they're still at anger, but boy, are they angry! And I'm just fascinated. You know, Greg, I'm sure you've seen this too. We happen to be Hillary people. There are tens of millions of Hillary people. That doesn't mean necessarily she's going to win the election, although knock wood, I think she still will. But even if she loses, you have to understand, in a country of 120 to 160 million voting age people who are not in prison, millions and tens of millions support Hillary Clinton. But when I go on social media and I make an argument that Hillary Clinton is the better candidate, people don't believe I believe that. They think I'm either shilling for the GOP or I've had people this week accuse me. They say, are you getting paid by the Hillary campaign?
I saw that one actually.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. They just can't believe that someone actually thinks she is a good person and would be a good president. And I happen to believe both.
We are becoming less, and this is one thing that really troubles me and concerns me. We are becoming less and less able as a country to tolerate disagreements. And it's not just us, but I won't get into what I see in the rest of the world because I'll put everybody to sleep again, so I won't do that. But it's, you know, you and Kevin, you and Greg see it from the Bernie people who only talk to other Bernie people and who are convinced that Bernie is going to win every single state and who are shocked when there are so many people in South Carolina and in the rest of the country who would prefer Mrs. Clinton to Mr. Sanders. Emily and I get that on the Republican side. I get it in just about every direction because for a whole host of reasons I will get into now, but we get it from Trump people. I get it from Trump people and anti-Trump people because the arguments I use against Donald Trump are not ones that are normally heard. People think that Donald Trump is people think Donald Trump is the epitome of the conservative rise against the establishment. I think Donald Trump is actually the perfect establishment candidate with a foul mouth. That's really all he is to me. And nobody likes it when I say that. They all look at me and they go, that can't be right because that completely messes up my view of the world where I am smarter than everyone. Well, no, you're not. I'm smarter than everyone. What the hell's wrong with you people? See what I mean by the self-parody thing? But in any event, my point is we are having a harder time disagreeing without being disagreeable.
So I've got a really interesting question to ask, especially Kevin and Greg. So look at the landscape right now on the Republican side. We've got, you know, Trump rising out of, you know, nowhere. We've got this huge, not even anti-establishment, but an outsider feel. Do you fear in 4 or 8 years that a Bernie type could rise and take out a more establishment Democratic candidate like a Hillary?
No, I don't fear it. I look forward to it. I think were it not for her age, I think Elizabeth Warren would be perfectly placed for that. The only thing that I have against Bernie Sanders, other than the fact that I think he overpromises and promises some unrealistic things, is that the socialist thing will kill him. But if that was Elizabeth Warren running that campaign, I might be on board for her right now.
Yeah, to be quite honest, my issues with Bernie Sanders is that he was an independent for 30-some-odd years, and then 6 months ago he said, hey, let's be a Democrat. And the fact that he's only gotten, what, like 3 bills passed, and 2 of them seriously were renaming post offices. And the fact is that he's not really accomplished much, and all of a sudden he wants to redo healthcare and redo these. It doesn't fly with me. Elizabeth Warren would be great.
So you have no fear that someone will rise in 8 years that will be, you know, say there's another Hillary type on the rise.
If let's say a reality star, let's comes out.
Kanye West, but
let's say someone from The Bachelor.
Let's say that Oprah runs, because I actually think that's a possibility.
That would be perfect. Let's say Oprah.
Yeah.
Let's say Oprah runs, okay? And people are like, oh, it's Oprah, and you're getting a vote, and you're getting a vote, and you're getting a vote. And everyone looks under their seat, and you know what they have? A brand new vote. And that's going to be her thing. And we're all excited, and she's smart, she's intelligent, she's running media, and she's perfect. It's Oprah. How could we not be excited about it, and how could we not rally around it?
No, to go back to your question, I'm not sure I quite understand what you're asking, Em, because while I'm not as liberal as Greg...
I'm super liberal.
a lot of the things that Bernie says, I don't agree with his prescriptions, but I sure agree with his analysis.
I think the problem that we're having is that we are, from our perspective, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. What we're looking at with Donald Trump is not someone who's just outside the system, but someone who wants to completely reshape and alter the trajectory of the Republican Party. Bernie Sanders is not doing that. Bernie Sanders wants to accelerate the leftward drift of the Democratic Party, but he doesn't want to do what Donald Trump wants to do to the Republican Party. It would be the equivalent of, I think the better question to be asked is, guys, Kev and Greg, how would you respond if at this point in the race, Jim Webb had won 3 out of 4 states and was going to crush Super Tuesday and be the Republican nominee and talk about bringing back a 600-ship Navy and all the third things that Jim Webb wanted to do.
Oh, how so would spot on. That, I agree.
How would that?
Okay, great question.
That's a better question. Okay. Now I'm feeling
it. So here's my answer. You know, having now seen him in the debates, I lost a lot of enthusiasm and, frankly, a little bit of respect for the man, although he served our country admirably.
He killed a man.
But if you know, back in like April or May, I could have probably gotten on the Jim Webb bandwagon because I am a more moderate Democrat. I thought John Kerry was a sort of a centrist Democrat. I know you're going to say he was really liberal and blah, blah, blah. I would have been fine with that. I mean, I just want someone who's going to win. I want a Democrat in the White House. And frankly, whether it was Al Franken or, you know, go to the right, Joe Manchin, I would have been fine with either of them. I want a Democrat in the White House.
First of all, Al Franken is like our dream Democrat.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Al Franken and Paul Wellstone, if they could have some sort of magic baby, that would be our dream Democrat.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
You know, one of the things about being a liberal Democrat is I know my place. I know what's my expectations, and I know I'm never going to get 100% because half this country is against everything I stand for. So even with Hillary, I know I'm not going to get everything I want. I'm probably only going to get 20 or 30% of the things that I really want. And that's okay. There is no dream candidate.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought Barack Obama was the dream candidate.
And
you
right.
know, I still am very proud of him. I honestly think he's going to go down as a near great or possibly a great president. But there's been a lot of disappointment. And it made me realize, I realized like 2 years ago what the Sanders people have yet to realize, which is there's the fantasy and then there's the reality. And the
right.
And he is Bernie Sanders, again, a good man. I'm trying not to knock him. But the whole aura around him, it's pure cotton candy.
Right. You take what you can get.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you want someone who's electable, who will give you 20, 30%, and who won't take everything
right.
away.
And there are no perfect we're being redundant. There are no perfect presidents, even on the Democratic side. John Kennedy, oh my God, he made so many mistakes, starting with the Bay of Pigs, only 2-3 months into his administration. Was shellacked by Khrushchev in their kitchen debate, I think. No, that was Nixon. But you guys
Johnson,
know what I'm talking about.
Carter,
Johnson,
I mean,
was the greatest domestic president since Roosevelt.
FDR.
Yeah. And yet, he was one of the worst, if not the worst, foreign policy presidents.
Oh, yeah.
So what can you do? Even Ronald Reagan. I mean, my God, DJ, can't you find fault with Ronald Reagan?
Yes, I certainly can.
That's my point.
I think the 1982 tax increase was a mistake. I think the Social Security tax was a mistake. I think and you're right. You deal. You know the great Rumsfeld comment. You fight the war with the military you have. You move forward with the party you have. You move forward with the nominee you have, and you try to do the best that you can. I think the problem that we are seeing within the Republican Party that the Democratic Party does not have is that we're asking ourselves, what do we actually want to do when we're in power? Donald Trump has a very different answer than a quote-unquote traditional Republican like me or someone like Emily. Emily and I have, you know, Emily and I don't necessarily agree on everything, but we have certain ideas about where the country should go. Donald Trump wants to move the country and the party in an entirely different direction. And that's not an argument that has been going on inside the Democratic Party, I would say probably since 1968. Maybe 1992.
Well, no. Excuse me. Bill Clinton moved the Democratic Party.
And the more I thought about it, you know, maybe 1992. But
yeah.
even in the impression I got with the Democratic Party was that even within 1992, there was generally large agreement about the aims and the final goals, maybe some disagreements about how to get there. Donald Trump's America does not look like the America that I want to see. And it doesn't look like the America Emily wants to see. This is, you know, that every 4 years we always say it's a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. Well, we've cried wolf once too often because nobody believes us anymore, but it really is this time.
This is very real. Very, very real. And I'll say this, is I've been following a lot of discussion boards, and I follow, Kevin, what you're doing and others are doing, but I'll say this, is there's a discussion board group out there, several of them actually, that are talking about the rise of the new party that Donald Trump is creating as we speak, and it's called the Great American Party, in which 20% of Democrats, they're claiming, are crossing over to vote for him to form this new party. How scary is this to all of us?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I believe that's the number, but obviously there will be. There will be Trump Democrats, just like there were Reagan Democrats. I want to kind of wrap this up on my own fear, because you guys are coming at it from a political, you know, analytical, gee, this isn't my Republican Party anymore. And I want to look at it from a different place. I'm not afraid of Donald Trump being president of the United States. I don't think he's going to start a nuclear war. I think he'll probably be a competent manager. My concern frankly, is what he will do to our society. Because the president still is, someone to look up to, a role model. You know, Barack Obama, for everything that people say about him, and a lot of people ascribe things to him that aren't real, but a decent family man, clearly a thoughtful, reflective man, you know, well-mannered, again, not without faults, but, you know, he embodies, just in his personality, who the leader of the United States should be. Ronald Reagan also did, and frankly, with the exception of his personal life, Bill Clinton did too. And even the Bushes, I mean, they were decent men. I'm not sure I know what the United States looks like after 4 years of a Trump administration.
Because President Camacho.
He's going to change the texture of our society. I truly believe this, and I know it's going to sound crazy. People will die in the street. He keeps talking about we're not going to let people die in the streets. People will die in the streets because of it. Why are you moaning?
Kev, because yeah. Because you're sounding just like all of those highfalutin New England Brahmins who all I'm not done yet. You have to listen to me. Who had the shaking of the hands and were all panicked because Andrew Jackson was elected president in 1828. The problem
look what that got us.
That's right.
It got us the $20 bill. So you're right.
Yeah, he's got to get himself off the $20 bill. What a disaster! And that was a disastrous administration in a lot of ways, but it's not because of who Donald Trump is, it's because of what Donald Trump does, which admittedly is driven by who he is. So as I'm talking over my own argument here, the point I'm trying to make is, if Donald Trump actually is elected president, that will not mean that Donald Trump will thoroughly damage or do horrible damage to the country. If Donald Trump is elected president, it means the country already is damaged. He is not the cause. He is the symptom of the sickness.
Oh, I agree. We're not really disagreeing. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of positive things could come out of turning the system on its head. I'm not saying that there are some things about a Trump candidacy that's good. The idea of self-funding, although there, you know, we talked last week about there was some question about that. Some of the things that Trump is for, I actually agree with him on. I'm not afraid of Donald Trump as the president in terms of what he would do administratively in office. I'm afraid of what he would do to us as a culture. But again, I'm on a soapbox. We're at the end of the show, so I'm jumping off.
Let's do some predictions here because Tuesday is Super Tuesday. Can we all agree? Does anyone here think Bernie Sanders will carry any state outside of Vermont?
Yeah, he has a chance in Massachusetts. He has a chance in Minnesota.
Absolutely, okay. I think he will come
strong.
Yeah,
maybe
there.
Minnesota too.
Okay,
if he loses all three of them, it's over.
Okay,
but Al
I mean,
Franken
it's over
just,
anyways. But
it's already
Al Franken,
over. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Al Franken just recently endorsed Hillary Clinton and has been pushing really hard.
I will go out on my own and say that Sanders loses everything except Vermont. He may even lose Vermont too. Flip side on the Republican.
No.
On the Republican side.
Okay.
Does list the states you think Donald Trump will lose and who wins them, starting with Greg. Go.
Texas goes to Cruz, and Georgia will actually go to Rubio.
Kevin.
And
oh, I'm sorry.
I think Colorado also will go to Rubio.
Kevin.
I think that Texas goes to Cruz. I think that Trump runs the rest of the table.
Jonah.
I think that Cruz will probably squeak out Texas. I think Rubio might get Minnesota.
Emily.
Oh, yeah.
I think Texas is going to go all the way Cruz, probably 4 points or better. And I think that Rubio has a very good shot in Georgia.
I'm going to go out on the limb again. I say Trump shoots the moon.
Nice. Okay. I have one more prediction to add on to Kevin. I think Trump will win it all and will have a new purge system that he'll install in America. So...
Okay, it's too soon for that. I was going to ask vice presidential on the Trump side, but no, it's too soon.
Oh, it's too soon.
Okay. Good show, everybody.
Good show. It's always good talking to y'all.
Right, and until next week, where we can sift through the carnage.